I mean, I don't know about a 9-2 team and where they are right now, but obviously you look at these $100 million contracts. Would anybody have thought that college football coaches were going to get $100 million? And you know, I mean, you've got the recruiting and stuff, but you've got such, you know, the job security is so much better there. So, I think you have to look. You're talking nine figures. You have to look at it. You got to kick it around and chew on it a little bit. I mean, I would have to think you would have to look at that seriously. It's just unfortunate. Can you imagine what these college coaches would have gotten if it wasn't for this NIL and having to pay these players? I mean, there's no money in college football. Can you imagine? Maybe he'd be getting $200 million contracts. I mean, it's just sad that these poor guys have to live in poverty. It's, you know, it's all about the pageantry and the history of college football. It has nothing to do with the money.
That's Mark Schlereth, who joins us on Wednesdays to talk NFL. And college football and the NFL, they're bleeding into each other right now, especially locally. He's the best.
All right, so let's get into this now. Cliff Kingsbury in Oklahoma. From the very start of this story, everybody has, not everybody, but a lot of people have just rolled their eyes at this. Like, that's never going to, how stupid. He would never do that. And once again, full stop. If Cliff Kingsbury was told to his face, you need to make the playoffs this year or you're going to lose your job, which we believe was communicated to him in some way. Okay? He's sitting there with a 9-2 football team with a quarterback that has missed three consecutive games. Mm-hmm. It is quite conceivable the Arizona Cardinals could tank. I don't think it would happen, but if you're Cliff Kingsbury, don't you look at that? Don't you say, wait a minute, what happens if we go on a losing streak? What happens if Kyler Murray gets hurt again? What happens if we don't make the playoffs? I'm out of a job. So am I supposed to not look at Oklahoma and not consider this based on the fact that I've got a 9-2 football team?
Yeah. What if Kyler Murray is going to be injury prone for the rest of his career?
This is my point. So from day one, the idea to dismiss this is just asinine to me. Here's a dismissal. Zach Taylor, head coach of the Bengals, was asked, would you like to be coach at Oklahoma? His name surfaced in the rumor mill. His response, quote, absolutely not. We put in too much work here. I've got too much respect for an organization that took a chance on a young guy that not many people would have had the patience to stick through two difficult years with this vision in place. Nothing has been completed yet, so there is 0% chance I would ever consider something like that, end quote.
Hold on, we got breaking news. Zach Taylor is going to be named the next head coach at the University
at Alabama.
Well, of all people, Urban Meyer gave a denial that he has any interest in the Notre Dame job.
Well, you can't believe anything he has to say.
Well, that's true.
But the point of the matter is that's a young guy. That's what people, I think, expected Cliff Kingsbury to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was a young guy that the organization took a chance on.
Well, they both became head coaches the same year.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look at it from the standpoint of Cliff Kingsbury and job security and that number. The number that college coaches are getting, it's crazy money that you do have to consider. Now, could I leave a 9-2 football team at this point in time? I wouldn't do it. But again, this is a head coach who has to make the playoffs to keep his job. And you know how hard winning these games is. And he's experienced fallouts at the end of seasons. He's got to be considering this if this is indeed real.
Yeah. I was just going to hit you with to personalize it. Would you leave this show for a 9-2 radio show right now? But it's immaterial because in our business, contracts actually hold water.
No. We're the 9-2.
Right.
In that scenario, we would have to be the 9-2
Would you go to Oklahoma? No.
No money in the world could get me to go to Oklahoma. Is that what you're trying to say?
Kind of.
Well, it's coming up now in discussions with the media and players. Isaiah Simmons on the rumor that's still out there.
Very expected. I feel like everybody's been coming at me talking about Coach Venables and Coach Kingsbury going there. But hopefully neither one of them leave. I actually went up to him. What was this, Monday? And I looked at him, I'm like, me and you, we in this for the long haul, so I hope you're not going nowhere. So definitely love Coach Kingsbury, and from what he's told us, he's not going anywhere. So, you know, that's, I hope.
A lot of hope being thrown around in the facility this week, huh?
Yeah.
Hopeful
I'll
play.
A lot of moving around going on.
Hopeful our coach isn't leaving. Kyler Murray asked about it himself.
Oh, nah, I mean, I know Cliff. I don't really buy into it. Talk about what? if I'm him, I think he's got a pretty good job right now.
Yeah, that's unequivocal. Uh-huh. He does have a pretty good job right now. Kyler Murray's got a unique seat for all of this, too, because not only is it affecting his current coach, it's affecting his
previous coach.
Carousel is affecting his previous coach, too. And he talked about Lincoln Riley going to USC.
Man, I mean, that's my guy. He's a huge reason why I went to OU. I've been through the ups and downs with him. My family loves him. I love him. I'm happy for him. Obviously, I know Sooner Nation is not, too fond of decisions, stuff like that. But, like Coach Stoops said, I mean, no one man makes up the program. We've had a ton of guys that come through there, and we've always been successful. So I think OU will definitely continue to be successful. But as Coach Riley, it's for him. I stand by him for sure.
Isn't it tremendous that college football, and maybe it's just a one-year anomaly, this last week of the coaching carousel has been entirely more interesting than the season that we've seen
unfold.
You're
right about that. you are absolutely right about that. I think college football is going to it's going to regain its mojo with an expanded playoff when that gets here. And we talked to Mike Neely about that yesterday, and he hinted at something might be coming down. Well, they did talk about it. They did meet.
And they did make it public.
And they did make it public, but they've resolved nothing as of yet.
Yeah.
So. Yes, Jared.
What I was going to say is it might actually be interesting that, you know how we often say, like, oh, the baseball offseason, the NBA offseason is actually more interesting than the regular season?
Mm-hmm.
With the transfer portal, with NILs, with coaches now changing I wonder if college football is trending in that direction.
It's so weird when you really think about it. I'm not dismissing what you're suggesting, because I just suggested the same thing. But isn't it funny that we've gotten to that point in certain sports? The roster construction process is more interesting than the actual games. But when you think about it,
mm-hmm.
the roster construction process is being done so those players can play in games and coaches can coach games. It's so strange.
Yeah.
It really, but it is more interesting than it's ever been.
Well, yes, I would definitely. And this is kind of interesting, all this news coming out of Oklahoma, because they've got Spencer Rattler. I mean, that airplane might have been for him.
Might have been. I think it was Matt Barry from ESPN yesterday tweeted out, breaking news, Spencer Rattler is not transferring to Arizona State.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that was his fan hat or his ESPN college football analyst hat.
Dueling alums now arguing over where Spencer Rattler is going.
Oh, that's right.
Who's the other one?
Jordan Simone. Is that who you're referring
Jordan
to?
Jordan Simone said that he was coming.
He is coming 2 days ago, I think. So.
Yeah, he did. That's right. He termed it hearing Spencer Rattler to ASU.
That's right. That's how he used it.
So this Oklahoma thing, until they hire a coach, I'm real curious about this, because there's a big difference in the way Cliff Kingsbury reacted to the question and Zach Taylor reacted to the question. Two coaches who are pretty much in the same place.
Yeah.
Who have had a couple of rough years and now are in the midst of a breakthrough year. One coach feeling indebted to the organization, one maybe not so much.
And you would feel that in similar situations, the coach from Cincinnati would have given the Kingsbury answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Cincinnati.
Right.
And they put chili on spaghetti there.
Yes. Right. Yes. But, Cincinnati to Oklahoma, that's an upgrade.
At the very least, we know there is a specific...
Dang! Go ahead.
What was that?
I said, dang, Jared, don't worry.
I know. Was that a Cincinnati thing? There is a very specific reason why Cliff answered the question the way he answered it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that to me is undisputed. There is something behind that.
Right.
The way he answered that, there's a story behind that.
You don't think Zach Taylor wants a contract extension from Cincinnati and more money?
I'm sure he does.
I don't know. It's dragged on longer than I thought it would already. And it's only Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Coming up next, a lot of people around football are asking the question, what's wrong with the Seahawks? And more specifically, what's wrong with Russell Wilson? That and more NFL hash marks next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata hash marks.
Well, one, anytime you're coming off an injury, you know, where you had to have surgery on your hand, you can sit there all day long and say it's not affecting me, but it affects you. I mean, you can't help but affect you. And you can't help your body's this great compensation machine. It's a guy that played hurt his whole career. I just know that just the load and that you put on other parts of your body that you don't even, you're not even aware that you're compensating. So all that stuff plays a role in what's going on with Russell Wilson.
It's Mark Schlereth, NFL analyst. He joins us on Wednesdays, and the Russell Wilson question came up, and a lot of people are asking the question, what's wrong with Seattle? What's wrong with Russell Wilson? Since he came back from the finger injury, which was described by a doctor involved by Russell Wilson as the most, what was the word he used? Severe middle finger injury he's seen in an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Credit to Russell Wilson. He came back pretty quickly, missed three games. Since coming back, he's completed 55.6% of his passes for 615 yards in three games, two touchdowns, two picks, a rating of 73.2. More importantly, Seattle is 0-3 in those games. He's lost his four straight starts for the first time in his career. And since returning, they've scored a total of 28 points.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, that, like I said, there's a lot of people asking the question. And now not speculating just on injury, but maybe the mindset of Russell Wilson. And is this the beginning of the end of his time in Seattle?
Well, yeah, and I do think that is certainly going to be the end game of all of this if this gets much worse in Seattle. This is what it looks like to see the end of a very long, successful run in the National Football League, because you've got Pete Carroll, who's basically in denial, and just basically hoping this thing is going to sort itself out. And then you've got the Russell Wilson factor, and nobody quite knows what's going on here. Of the team's 31 possessions since Russell Wilson returned from injury, the Seahawks have 9 3-and-outs. Now, as a fan base that has seen Russell Wilson repeatedly over the years, that is an amazing thing to me. 3-and-outs generally don't happen with that guy. That guy generally plays very, very well in big games, generally delivers in second halves of seasons, and that's not the case.
No.
So people want to know, is it the entire offense and a lack of talent? Is he past his prime now? Has his lack of mobility now, comparatively speaking to the player he used to be, caught up to him, whereas he is not the pocket passer that you can become with wisdom and age? And then finally, as he just checked out, and people who know him say he's never looked more unhappy playing football or disengaged playing football.
Well, I mean, going back to the point that you started with on the 3-and-outs, if you were brave enough to sit through that game on Monday night against Washington, and Seattle had that stretch of 5 straight 3-and-outs that ended with a punt, and they brought it up on the ESPN telecast.
Mm-hmm.
That's only happened one other time in the NFL this year. And, oh, by the way, that was by the Seattle Seahawks, too, before the Russell Wilson injury.
See, that's
the offense
that's
stinks,
stunning.
Too, on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Pete Carroll is going to bat and showing patience with Shane Waldron in his first year as the coordinator. But remember going into that Seattle game when the Cardinals were getting ready for Seattle, we had Brock Huard on. And he talked about that hire and how that came out of left field, and there was no real connection that Pete Carroll felt to Shane Waldron, and the revolving carousel of coordinators, and everybody was so desperate to tap into the Sean McVay coaching tree again.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all coming to roost right now.
Well,
I think all of those things, I don't think he's right physically. I think the Seahawks stink personnel-wise and from a tactical standpoint.
That's the thing.
And I don't think he wants to be there.
That and all of it. And I think B is leading to C, and that's also kind of – Pete Carroll's got a heavy hand in that roster, in the drafting, the picking of players, and that's maybe where the game has passed him by. The idea to give Jamal Adams all that money when he's a run-stuffing defensive back and not good in space, that was silly. And so they've got an aging, bad roster with Russell Wilson at quarterback, and now Russell Wilson's not very happy with what's going on around him. Now, there was a time, I mean, and Russell Wilson out of this division, you would think, would be a good thing for the Arizona Cardinals going forward. There is precedent to this. Danny O'Neill, our good buddy, He wrote this, quote, is this like Randy Johnson in 1998? Johnson started that season with the Mariners, was displeased with the team, was not interested in signing, that was not interested in signing him to a longer contract. He was 9-10 with Seattle that year, traded at the deadline to Houston where he went 10-1. After that season, he signed with Arizona where he won four straight Cy Young awards. The Mariners chose poorly, end quote.
I'm picking Russell Wilson to win the Cy Young next year.
Right, there you go. Right. He's a baseball player. He was a pitcher.
Well, here's the thing also, that if you look at it, you're talking about the B and C there, the roster, and Russell Wilson being happy. If Russell Wilson leaves Seattle, Seattle is not set up to be good after that.
No.
Like, if Russell Wilson leaves, they will then be down for years now, because they don't have, like, the young stars that can, like, you know, okay, they're just going to rebuild and reboot. Like, there, you could take them out of the equation, it feels like, for the next 2 or 3 years.
I agree. But at the heart of it, too, again, to bring it back to the Valley, isn't it wonderful we're having this discussion right now? And it's real.
Yeah.
I've been rooting for the demise of the Seattle
for a
Seahawks
while. Yeah,
for
no,
so
I'm
long.
Here for it, man. I really am. It's watching Pete Carroll just befuddled is quite entertaining for me.
Well, it felt like it's been trending this way a little bit over the last few years. But they always had Russell Wilson,
mm-hmm.
who of the four quarterbacks in the division, but then now they have Stafford, but when it was Goff, he was the only one that was in his prime. So you thought, okay, even if they're screwing up the roster, even if Pete Carroll's maybe getting a little over the hill, they have a star quarterback in his prime in mm-hmm. Seattle. If you take him out of the equation now, wow.
Well, and then you think about this. The early speculation is that the Giants would love Russell Wilson. The speculation is the Eagles are the team that's going to trade for Deshaun Watson. The NFC East might be in for a makeover next year.
It's a good point.
Washington needs a quarterback
as well.
Right.
And they'll probably well.
The red-hot Washington football team, you mean?
This draft year is not the best for quarterbacks, but.
That's it. That's also, that also factors into what we talked about, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and maybe Deshaun Watson, is because there's not a great quarterback draft. There could be movement of those stars.
And the rest of December, Philly's going to have to decide on Jalen Hurts based on what he does going out. Dolphins are going to have to decide on Tua based on what he does going out.
Yeah. There's
a lot of moving pieces.
A lot of auditions going on.
Yeah.
And in Miami's case, that audition is going on while they're winning some games and actually becoming relevant again. So we'll see Seattle and San Francisco this week. Is there any last gasp left for the Seahawks?
That would be good, though, wouldn't it?
It'd be good for
just carnage. Cheer for carnage and a Seahawks win.
I always do.
Stop the momentum of the 49ers
right.
a little bit.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Coming up next, Sarah Cazell's going to get us caught up to date on all the big stories of the day, as only she can. The Rush Hour reboot is next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata Mornings. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
All right, welcome into the Rush Hour Reboot, everyone, here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I am Sarah Cazell with Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, and Jarrett Carlin. We are Bickley and Murata Mornings, and what we do every morning at 7:30 is we take you through the top stories of the day with the Rush Hour Reboot. We get you rebooted, don't we?
We do. We try to.
Well, we do our best. That's right. Okay, let's start with the Phoenix Suns, who are going for a franchise record tonight. If they beat the Detroit Pistons tonight, that will be their 18th straight win.
Oof.
Right? That would be a franchise record. They tied the record held by the 2006-2007 Suns team on Tuesday against the Warriors with their 17th consecutive win. Suns GM James Jones, he was on that 06-07 team and actually spoke about that streak yesterday.
It was fun. You know, it was one of those situations where you never think it's going to end. And once it's over, you sit back and you look and you say, hey, you know what? We have what it takes to do this again. And you get excited because now you know you can reach certain heights. You feel like you can start a streak, and you're not surprised when you win 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 games in a row again. So it was pretty cool to be a part of that, and I'm really fortunate to be a part of that in a different capacity now.
All right, we talked about this quite a lot yesterday. There's been a lot of hype, a lot of excitement around the streak, but big picture, not necessarily important. All that said, Dan and Vince, would you guys be disappointed if the Suns somehow don't break this streak tonight, or set this record, rather?
The Pistons are 4-17, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, they're very bad.
And struggling.
That's why I said
disappointed,
somehow.
Yeah, that's not the right word. That's not the way I'm looking at it. I would be happy. I think this team deserves that record, and I would be happy if they get it. I wouldn't be disappointed if they didn't. These streaks generally come to an end for any number of reasons, and you can just get a team on the wrong. I'm not putting that much importance on it to be that disappointed when it ends. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it that way right now, too. But fast forward to about 9:30 tonight, if right. I'm walking out of that arena and I'm like, wow, how did they lose to the Pistons? It's all based on the result. I think they should win even shorthanded without Devin Booker tonight. Right. I had the feeling during the Golden State game that they, you know, if they were able to get past the Warriors on Tuesday, beat the Pistons, set the record, and then whatever happens at that point is gravy.
Yeah. Que sera, sera.
Yeah.
And if the Suns lose to the Pistons, that itself is a different issue. But as you pointed out, Vince, no Devin Booker tonight. So what are your guys' expectations for tonight's game with Devin Booker sitting out with a hamstring injury? They showed they can win without him on Tuesday against a great team.
Yeah, my expectations are they're going to play very well. I think that it's going to open up minutes for 2 to 3 more players, and I think it's a chance for those guys to flex and for the bench to flex. And I think Chris Paul loves this kind of stuff to prove they can win, you know, while handicapped. So, I expect them to play well. I do.
Yeah, and from a personnel standpoint, I'm not sure which way they'll go, but as we illustrated earlier in the show, that they've got options. If Monty Williams wants to go to Cam Johnson, plug him into one of the forward spots and bump Mikal Bridges down to the two, I think that's the best starting lineup you can put out there. Landry Shamet hit some big shots during that stretch against Golden State. I mean, he's an option to plug into the two spot for Devin Booker, so there's flexibility. But I agree with Bick. I think they're you know, this is a really good basketball team. I think they're going to play well in his absence.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to the NFL for a moment. The Cardinals back from their bye. They are getting ready for the Chicago Bears in Chicago on Sunday. Justin Fields, their rookie quarterback, he was limited in practice yesterday with a ribs injury that kept him out last week against the Lions. Now, Sarah Spain, who works for ESPN and ESPN Radio, but also lives in Chicago and follows the Bears very closely. She went on Burns and Gambo yesterday and said, Bears fans, despite the up and down season that Justin Fields has had, they are still very confident in him.
But I find that people who are in Chicago and people who watch the Bears week in and week out, as brutal as that's been, are uniformly extremely optimistic.
Okay.
It's the folks who see the red zone or see a couple plays or are still caught up in what they saw in the preseason. He takes a lot of sacks. He doesn't read the defenses quick enough at times. He's great when the first option is open. His accuracy is unbelievable. His athleticism is incredible. The kind of errors that we've seen from the Jay Cutler types, or, you know, even the backup types like Andy Dalton or Nick Foles are not there. It's a different kind of problem, and it's one that's only fixed by rep.
Problem. Shut up, Jared.
Shut up, Jared.
Shut up, Sarah.
Sarah Spain. Spain.
Sarah Spain. Yeah.
Although she is one of the last people I would ever want to tell to shut up. So.
Yeah, I get the feeling from Sarah, too. You don't want to cross her.
Just don't cross any Sarahs.
Yeah.
Just general rule. Don't do it.
Crossing Sarah.
There you go. So the question is, who do you think poses a bigger challenge for the Cardinals? If Justin Fields plays or Andy Dalton, who would be a bigger challenge?
Yeah, Justin Fields, without a question to me, that it's just the ceiling for his performance is much, much different than Andy Dalton.
Yeah, and I think it's because of what Sarah Spain said about the athleticism there. Andy Dalton's a veteran. But, you know, the Cardinals saw Andy Dalton last year in Dallas, and they absolutely wrecked
that's the
Dallas.
Whole thing. Yeah. We went into that Dallas game last year going, I don't know, Andy Dalton's a pro.
And then the day after that Monday night game, we came in Tuesday morning, I was scraping egg off my face thinking, Andy Dalton can win games.
Yeah. No, he can't.
It's Justin Fields is the bigger threat.
Okay. Let's go to college basketball. Sorry, Vince, you have to relive this. ASU men's basketball last night lost 51-29 to Washington State. Vince was there. At one point, the Cougs...
For most of it.
For most of it. The Cougs did not, at one point in the game, score for 11 minutes and 24 seconds, and they still did not relinquish the lead. So here is ASU coach Bobby Hurley after the game.
I'll give credit to Washington State's defense. I thought it was outstanding. That being said, it was disappointing for us on offense. Have had a lot of teams here that could put some points on the board, and tonight this was as ineffective, an offensive performance as I've been a part of, maybe ever, as a player and a coach. So it's disappointed, epically bad, and we got to figure out how to do better.
Epically bad.
Yeah. How, Vinny and Bick, how do you guys describe the state of ASU basketball right now?
Alarming. Here's a gem from Doug Haller. Quote, as the second half is set to start, the Desert Financial Arena PA announcer asked for fans to check out the video board for first half highlights. The segment runs about 30 seconds and includes all four of Arizona State's field goals. The person who put this together had the easiest task of the night. Hey, everybody, check out the scoreboard for highlights from the first half. What highlights? Listen, that sent people scrambling, and Doug even wrote this as well. That sent people thinking about what is the worst game I've ever seen. That's how bad it was. Mm-hmm.
It was weird. I was just sharing. Our boss came in during the commercial break, and I was sharing. Being there, sitting with my son and my buddy. I'm like, we don't have to stay. I mean, I've done what I needed to do, and they were both like, let's see how bad this gets. It was that level of bad. Now, to your question, Sarah, on the state of ASU basketball, it's obviously not good. I'm surprised. I think the lack of explosion after the game from Bobby Hurley kind of just shows how frustrated he is. Yeah. He was on with us earlier in the week, and he talked about it. We got to figure out a way to be more consistent offensively. I mean, they scored 70-plus points against Syracuse in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. and last night it was like they were trying to miss shots. It was alarming. But it's a big, it was a big experiment to bring in that many new players from the transfer portal. All these guys can play. They are not gelling together.
And is not having Bagley that big of a deal, you think?
It's not helping,
well,
but
that
they,
was a good
they
person
didn't have him for most of last year either. Right. I'm not sure how much he can be counted to contribute right now.
This is where the lack of a structured offensive system can bite you.
Yeah, I mean, they're giving a lot of power to the guards again right now, and Marion Jackson was the MAC player of the year, and he can't shoot the ball right now. They got Biggs taking three-pointers. It was an unmitigated mess last night. There's no other way to say it.
Hot seat for Bobby Hurley?
Yeah, because I don't know. We're not going to see a performance like that again, but I don't think there's a whole lot of wins on the horizon for this season, and there was a lot of quick fix, stopgap kind of guys brought in, and it's not working right now. Yeah. There you go. There's your Rush Hour reboot. Thank you, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, we go from one basketball team in town at one end of the spectrum to the other. The Phoenix Suns will be without the services of Devin Booker for a while. How equipped are they? We'll get into that. More Suns talk next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Marotta.
Bickley and Marotta Mornings.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We're still evaluating it, but it looks like he'll be down for a little bit. How long? I don't expect for long, but a few games is accurate. But he had some soreness last night. You saw him side on the court. If this were the finals, if this were the playoffs, he'd be back out there doing it again. So we're fortunate that it wasn't anything major, and he's going to get back to work, and we'll have him back soon, hopefully.
It's James Jones, the general manager of the Phoenix Suns, on with Burns and Gambo yesterday, updating the status of Devin Booker. That status we knew when he left the game, a hamstring injury, appears to be a minor injury, but a little time off for Devin Booker, including tonight's game against Detroit. Back-to-back tomorrow night in San Francisco against the Warriors. Would not expect to see number one out there either.
No.
Someone I think brought this up yesterday, but could this actually be a good thing? Like, he played deep into the playoffs last year, played in the Olympics,
and played really hard in the Olympics, by the way.
Like, is this a blessing in disguise, perhaps, that he's actually going to get some time off here?
Perhaps. I think the result, obviously, is going to write that story, but
the person who said that, that was me in the first hour of the show, Jared. If you were paying attention, you might have known that.
Vince or Sarah, somebody.
Yeah, no, I think so. Now, before we move on to the Suns, we just want to point this out really quickly. There's a tweet out there that from Eric Macromala.
Yes, from TSN and Forbes.
Yeah, legitimate dude. Quote,
as per
my Forbes colleague at Mike Ozanian, the Arizona Coyotes are for sale again with the idea of the buyer eventually moving the team to a new arena in Houston. Craig Morgan has looked into it, and he hasn't heard back from the team or the league. Points out it would run contrary to everything they've heard from ownership. So here we go again. The team that can't find a home.
Didn't we just do this?
Well, we did just do this.
Didn't we just do this for the last 12 years?
Well, and again, it's...
I feel like he had some kind of internet problem, and he sent, you know, that tweet out 2 years ago, and all of a sudden it just went through, because I thought we were past that now.
Would this mean that project in Tempe is no longer in the midst, in the works?
Look, I think it was premature to even call it in the works. It's a proposal at best. Yeah.
Yeah. This doesn't surprise me, because after the city of Glendale took that hardline stance and saying, this is it, you're not playing here anymore. Wow.
Yeah, so that's right out there. So, just wanted to put it out there. It came to our attention during the commercial break.
Yep.
So I can't say that that's the latest, because there's not really anything to report, but it's out there.
But it is a legitimate outlet reporting it. So there you go. All right, back to the Phoenix Suns. Here's what I wanted to share with you. So we're going to get to Colin Cowherd's comments on the Phoenix Suns, because he did the anti-Stephen A. Smith thing yesterday. In fact, I think he did it because of Stephen A. Smith.
I think you're right.
But many years ago, when the Suns, Steve Nash's Suns, started getting rolling, I remember being in Los Angeles, driving to the arena with Paul Coro, who formerly covered the Suns, and we were listening to the radio, and it was sports talk radio in Los Angeles, and somebody was talking about how the Suns have done it. They have finally lapped the Lakers, and the Lakers are going to spend years chasing the Phoenix Suns. That's exactly what came out of Colin Cowherd's mouth yesterday.
Basically, yeah. Colin Cowherd kind of going the opposite direction of a lot of prominent national media members on his show yesterday, but had very high praise for the Suns.
Well, defensively, they're long, they're versatile, they're athletic, they have a rim defender, they play 10 guys deep. They've got some veterans, but mostly 7 of their 10 players are in their prime. None of the Lakers' top 10 guys are in their prime. 7 of 10 for Phoenix are. They're a great defensive team. Incredibly deep and versatile. Offensively, they have a Hall of Fame smart point guard. They have a lethal number 2 shooting scoring guard. They have a rim protector. I swear he can guard anybody on the floor, maybe a point guard. They get easy points down low. They're the best clutch team in the league. They're 9-1 in clutch situations, number 1 in the NBA. They have the highest field goal percentage in the league in clutch situations. So they're smart guys who get the ball to the right team. And unlike the Lakers, the Suns love their coach.
I'll take issue with one minor point there. I know he's injury prone, and I know we have a lot of fun with him, but Anthony Davis is 28 years old.
Mm-hmm. He's in his prime. Yeah.
He's in his prime. Yeah. LeBron's not. Russell Westbrook's not. Carmelo Anthony's not. Some of the other players, lesser players on the roster, might be entering their prime, but it might not matter that much. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing. Here's another bit of the Suns as held up against the Lakers from Colin Cowherd.
There is a responsibility we have to not try to sell you nonsense. That when the big brands are great, it's good and we like it. But when they're not great, I'm not going to try to pretend they're great. And I'm watching the Phoenix Suns last night. They would sweep the Lakers in 4 games if all 4 games were played in Los Angeles. The Lakers will not catch the Phoenix Suns for the next half decade.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the point that made me go, wow. And I love what he was saying, because that is the genesis of a lot of our angst and discontent with not being properly respected. It applies to the Cardinals. It applies to the Suns. And he just told you why that is. They play favorites among big brands like the Cowboys and the Lakers. Stephen A. Smith talks about the Lakers constantly. And what Colin Cowherd is saying is there's a level of disingenuousness to that, period. Because they're playing the hits is what they're doing. Somebody else brought up an interesting point that by doing that, they lose perspective of how good or not good that team happens to be. They might overrate these teams that they're constantly talking about because they know them so well. And as a consequence, they sound like idiots talking about teams like the Suns because they've invested nothing into that.
But let me ask you this question. Through 23 games of their schedule, what one word, and the Lakers are 12-11, what word would you describe to describe the Los Angeles Lakers to this point?
A mess.
Injured.
Injured.
I agree with all of those things. But it was always, at least I felt this way on the Lakers, it's going to take some time for them to get everything together with all the pieces they brought in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to bring in pieces of that age with those injury histories, maybe not the most prudent move. But 12-11 still being a mess, and LeBron James, you know, missing a ton of time.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Westbrook struggling. I'm not changing my tune on the Lakers yet. Let's see what they look like in March and April.
Oh, yeah.
If they're healthy, they're going to be formidable.
Yeah, they're still dangerous. There's no doubt about that. They're definitely dangerous,
mm-hmm.
but they've been a mess up until this point.
By the way, did you see LeBron's latest tweet?
No.
He's in the safety protocols now, the health and safety protocols for COVID-19, and he just said, hey, there's something, and he used every fish emoji that's out there,
something
fishy going on, because now he's gone for 10 days and is vaccinated.
Why
can't a guy with that much power just come out and say what he's thinking for one time? Wouldn't that be cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not.
You think you're being screwed, LeBron? Say you think you're being screwed.
How do you know that he's not just, it's not, it's Taco Tuesday, and he's having fish tacos.
Maybe he's having fish tacos.
Maybe. They're delicious.
That's what it is.
There's just not as much engagement socially when you come out and say what you mean. You got to be real vague about it.
Yeah, I mean.
Love that it. Is
thing
true.
You know he's going to tweet out a
That is true. You got to give yourself
Thanos.
You got to give yourself that safety net to say, oh, I wasn't talking about that. Yeah. That's not what I meant.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. It's called the Eric Bledsoe defense.
Yes.
Yeah,
attention,
right.
Cardinal fans, we are issuing a code red all next week as the division rival Rams invade State Farm Stadium for Monday Night Football on December 13th. You want to get involved, you want to win tickets, text red to 620-620. Listen for your name during the 7:30, 12:30, and 4:30 hours next week to win two tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Rams. That's red, R-E-D, to 620-620. We are halfway through this Thursday edition. And Bick's going to kick off the second half with the blast. That's next. Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.